Good morning. Gosh. Good morning. See, that last week it was this side, and I can already tell this week it's this side. And I just want you to know, before this message is over today, I've got something where we're going to go at it side against side, and just be ready for that, because that's happening today, and I'm excited about it. Let me just kind of share just a couple things with you real quick. Wearing my Making Mallory shirt, and just want to kind of share what that's about. A lot of you already know this, but the name of our band is actually Making Mallory. To get the understanding of that, I'm going to let you ask them, because that's one of the best stories that you've ever heard. the deal is they do a lot of playing out, and the truth is we don't pay them squat. We pay Nathan, and it's not much. It's very little, in fact. And so one of the things that they do to kind of buy their time is they play out. They do a lot of stuff for students. They played in Clarksville Friday night. And so to kind of help them, I have people ask me all the time, when are they going to have a CD? Well, it costs a lot of money, if you didn't know, to make a CD. And they do want to make a CD, but the deal is that you need the money. So one of the things that they're doing is that they've made shirts, and they're selling the shirts. And the deal with the shirts is that the money is going to help go to further that project. And so the only reason I'm telling you this is because I have so many of you talk to me about wanting a Making Mallory CD. Well, it will come, but only when they sell a lot of t-shirts. So I asked them today if they would set up the t-shirt deal. We're usually not selling stuff or whatever, but we thought this would be a cool thing for them to do and help them make a little money. So if you want to help them with that, that's a great thing. And you can do that by buying a shirt. Just want to share with you just one thing, something that we've all been kind of praying about, and that's Stephanie Beard. Just to kind of catch you up to speed with Stephanie. Stephanie's one of our students that comes here. And her family, I just talked with Ray, her stepdad, this morning on the phone, and have been kind of keeping in touch with him. Stephanie went to Atlanta to a physical therapy place that works specifically on spinal cord stuff. And that was what her injury was a spinal cord injury, if you did not know. And so there was a lot of concern with, would she have feeling back in her limbs, especially her legs? She had very little feeling in her left leg, and I talked with Ray this morning, and just know right off the bat that they are completely 100% giving the glory to God to what is happening in her and how He has answered prayers as they have been praying them specifically for what is to happen. And this last night, he told me this morning that last night she actually was able to move her left leg, put pressure against someone, push against someone with her leg, and that was like the thing that they have been looking for, and that is an amazing thing, and we should give God the glory for that, and I think it's just an amazing thing. So, they send their love, and they're going to be getting us where they're at and all that in Atlanta. They're going to be down there for a little more than a month, so just be continuing to pray for Ray and Jolynn and Stephanie and their family during this time. Let's pray together right now, if that's cool. God, I just want to thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. God, we're here for you, and we've been created for you. God, every song that we sing, every word that we speak, Lord, just let it be for you. And especially this morning, God, as we're just studying your word and we're just deciphering through exactly who you want us to be as believers, and how you want us to treat others, how you want us to love, how you want us to confront, how you want us to do all of these things. God, just speak to our hearts so clearly that we just understand you. God, just speak through your word this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you for allowing us to get to come and to worship together. In your name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you a quick question. Don't answer out loud, please. When was the last time you had to confront somebody about something? It's not one of those things that we just love to do, is it? To confront somebody or to be confronted. You know, it's one of those things that, I mean, if you're like me, I mean, you just cringe. I mean, it just wears me out. When I know that somebody has got something on, you know, against me, or, you know, wants to talk to me, or I need to go and talk to somebody else, I'll just tell you, it wears me out. I have to do it immediately because it just wears me out. I mean, I am absolutely useless for anything else when that happens. I have to just deal with it right then and right there. And I've learned that's really the most healthy way to go about that, and not to let that just kind of settle. To never let the sun go down, as you might say. Well, today we're looking at this passage in Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians 6, where we're going today is this passage where Paul is writing to us and helping us to understand how to deal with people, how we are supposed to love people, and how we're supposed to do things like confront people. And I know that's one of those things a lot of us just hate to do, but I think it's important for us to know that biblically, it's what we are to do, and there are ways to go about doing it. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people go about it the wrong way. And many of you probably, if you're like me, are guilty at times in life of going about confronting somebody in the wrong way. Right now, I'm sure that some of you have a vision of the last knockdown, drag-out fight that you had with somebody. Maybe it was somebody. But whoever it was, you've probably got in your mind somebody that maybe you had it out with. It may have been a long time ago. That's not the way to do it. We're not supposed to go in yelling and screaming. We're not supposed to go in cussing. In fact, Scripture is very clear about that. In fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you, there is a ton of Scripture on how to confront people. A ton of it. I mean, it is so clear in some of the things that we're going to do. We're not going to talk about all those things today, but we're going to talk about what's in this passage of Scripture and why Paul was even bringing it up. So, let's check this out. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says this: "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." Now, we're going to camp out on this in chapter 2 quite a bit today. But just to go ahead and just kind of clarify a couple of things right here, that this passage of Scripture is explaining for us what we need to do if we see someone, as it says, caught in a sin. Now, I know if you're like me, right off the bat, you know, as I started studying through this passage of Scripture, I was going, okay, God, what is the difference between us saying something to somebody that's been caught in a sin and us judging somebody? Because let's just face it, we don't like to be judged, right? Anybody like to be judged? I hope not. Nobody likes to be judged. In fact, Scripture is very clear that we are not supposed to judge people. And so as I studied through Scripture and I studied where Christ is teaching that we are not to judge others, the context in which He is saying that is that He is saying that we are not supposed to be unforgivingly critical of people. Does that make sense? We're not supposed to just go in criticizing people. We see this all the time on TV, people that are bantering back and forth and, you know, hurling accusations at one another. Well, you're this and you're that and you're wrong because of this. And there's so much of that going on in our world today, and what it is lacking is forgiveness. And that's the difference. You see, to confront somebody about a sin that they've been caught up in is completely different than to judge somebody. If we're judging somebody, we're just criticizing them, and we have no heart in doing it. In fact, we are not even interested in forgiving them. We're just interested in criticizing. And we've all been guilty of it. Let's just face it. We've all done it at some time, but it's not what we are supposed to do. And this passage of Scripture is very clear. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, this passage says a lot. We're going to come back to a little more of it here in just a little bit. But one of the things that I want to just want to catch you up on is, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. You who are spiritual is saying a big, 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 big thing right here. And this is one of those things where we got to check ourselves at the door before we go in saying, hey, you're doing this. And even if our heart's right, even if we think, oh, well, you know, I mean well because I see what they're caught up in. Look, we got to stop right here and we've got to say, what does this mean? You who are spiritual is referring back to chapter 5. Now, here's a little just kind of mix this up for you and kind of give you a little jigsaw puzzle to put together here between this week and next week. We are talking about chapter 5 next week. And what it's talking about in chapter 5 is to be led by the Spirit. And so, if we're being led by the Spirit, well, you'll learn about that next week. So, it's important that you come back next week because you need next week to be able to apply this week, to be led by the Spirit. So, those of you that are spiritual, means being led by the Spirit, should restore Him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now, right there, the whole tempted deal, I think it's pretty obvious. If we are not in the right heart and in the right mind, if we're not in a growing relationship with Christ, if we're not moving forward, it is very possible and very feasible for us to get caught up in sin at the same time. And it's not just talking about the sin that we're talking to somebody about or confronting somebody about, but it's the kind of sin that we're basically saying, I'm better than you are, and I'm going to point out you're wrong. You see, that's the sin that it's really kind of pointing to here, is the whole pride issue and us understanding that if we're in the right heart with God, then we're going to approach the situation in the right way. And that's why it is important that we are led by the Spirit, which you'll be hearing all about next week. Verse 2, I knew you'd love me doing that to you this week. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we're going to talk a lot about this passage of Scripture, but specifically, where it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is just very simple, and I just want to go ahead and just kind of put that on you right now. The law of Christ, catch this, the law of Christ is the law of love. You see, we've talked about the law, Old Testament law. We've talked a lot about that. In fact, I think we've got a clip. We watched this clip last week, but I just love it so much. I want us to watch it again. Let's have it. Walker Lever now. Go.
Mind if I use your phone?
There you go, right there. Mind if I use your phone? You see that? That's supposed to be funny. You can laugh. Man, these guys over here this week. I don't know. Y'all must have just switched because we went in the round today. But you know, we think about the law. We think about Walker. I mean, I think about Walker. Don't you think about Walker when you think about the law? You should if you don't. Because Walker is the law. You see, we get caught up in the what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do and all this stuff, and we miss, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but we miss that understanding that this is God's way of showing us what it is that we were created to do and not do, just like I talked about last week, the computer programmer. Remember this? And the computer programmer has made a program, and he knows more than anybody what that thing is capable of and what will destroy it. And see, God knows that about us, and He does not want us to be destroyed. He wants us to live to our fullest capability. And so for us to understand that the law that we're talking about here, when it says the law of Christ, Christ came, and He came with love. And you see Him say the greatest commandment, if I'm going to add a commandment, the commandment is to love one another. And that's like the biggest thing that we see Christ bringing down other than salvation when He came is that it's just all about love. And we are called to do that ourselves as individuals. You say, Chris, I'm not real good at that. Well, you need to get good at it because you were created to do it. And what a lot of us kind of let ourselves do is we let ourselves become a bunch of sourpusses, don't we? We just kind of let ourselves become these people that are just like, we're like, always, and nothing. We can't be, it's half full, and it's just, nothing's positive. And people get around us. This eats me up. And it eats the church up. You need to know that. That when people get around you and they are that way, and they're not in love, you just need to say something to them in a loving way. Make sure that you're in the right heart. But you need to help them to see what they have fallen into and you not fall into it. Because it's so easy to fall into that. It's so easy when someone negative is around to just everybody, and you've seen this, this happened to you, you and all your friends, you and your family, maybe you got like Uncle Harry, and Uncle Harry is like Mr. Negative, and when everybody comes to the family reunion, like everybody's like running from Uncle Harry because the negativity is just coming with him, and everybody's having a good time until he shows up. Well, thanks for this present. I think I saw it at the dollar store. You know, and that's the way we get, and we have been designed to love people, to love each other. We're going to talk a little bit more about carrying each other's burdens here in just a minute. But in verse 3 it says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, if you get to thinking that you're the junk, guess what? You're not. If you get to thinking that you've got it all together, guess what? Satan sold you on a lie. That's not true. We will always, I tell people this all the time, you're never going to get to this, you know, platform where like you're going to step up one day and be like, man, I am the Christian. I have finally arrived. It is so great to be right here. Now, it's so great to be a Christian, don't get me wrong, but we will spend the rest of our days doing this number right here. Stepping up and stepping down. And what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be seeking after being closer to God the rest of our life. And in turn, we will also many times fall down. And when we fall down, we've just got to get back up and keep going. We've got to keep striving to know God, to be more like Christ. We cannot deceive ourselves. Verse 4 says, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Should test his own actions. Do you test yourself in any way? Do you give yourself tests? Probably not a lot of people do that. Probably not a lot of people sit around and go, well, you know, I just like to test myself at this every once in a while. Let's go multiple choice today. We did true or false yesterday. But, you know, it is important for us to test ourselves so that we understand where we are missing the mark. And we got to be honest with ourselves. And we do this all the time as a staff for what we do here at church. We're constantly looking at what we're doing to constantly make it better. And sometimes we are just brutally honest with each other. Sometimes I just want to go out of staff meeting and just go cry somewhere. You know, but it's good to test ourselves and to be honest with ourselves about what's going on and where we're missing the mark and where we're hitting it. In this passage of Scripture, what this is saying is each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself. Now, what it's saying there is that this is not the free ride to just take pride in everything that you do and in yourself and just become a prideful, boastful person. That's not what it's saying. What Paul is alluding to right here is he's wanting us to see that we can take pride in what God does through us. We see in other scripture where Paul says, be boastful about what Christ has done in you. And it's important for us to get that. It's important for us to understand that we can take pride in the great things that God has done. And you may be sitting here today and you're sitting here going, I don't know that God's really done anything in my life lately. And if that's the case, then I would venture to say that you're not seeking God wholeheartedly. Because I'll just tell you, anytime you're seeking God, Scripture tells us we will be found by Him. Verse 4, it keeps going right here. And it says, without comparing himself to somebody else, for each should carry his own load. And what Paul is saying there is don't, you know, test yourself, check yourself, but don't compare yourself to other people. And that's important for us because we do this all the time. We're all guilty of this, aren't we? We're all guilty of comparing ourselves to other people. We're like, well, you know, he's got this and he's good at that and I'm terrible at that and, you know, all this stuff. And we're constantly comparing ourselves. And Paul is saying right here, don't do that. You're never going to come out with a positive ending if you continue to compare yourself to other people. That is not what it's about. If you're going to compare yourself to Christ. Look to Christ for an example. What you're going to find every time that you do that is you're going to see things in your life that could be better. And sometimes it's going to break your heart because you're going to spend time with God and you're going to see His perfection and you're going to see where you're missing some stuff and you're going to automatically go, you know what? I want to be more like that. I want to be more like God. Verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. Verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Now that passage of scripture, I'm not going to skip over it here, but that passage of scripture is basically saying that for those that teach you the word of God, teach or preach to you the word of God, you should take care of them. You should take care of your pastors. You should take care of your teachers. It's just Paul's way of saying, don't leave these people out. You got to take care of them. I just want you to know that one of the things that burdens me probably more than anything is the fact that we cannot financially take care of the other staff at 24 Church yet. And I so look forward to the day that God blesses us financially in the ways that we can do that. And you just need to know that that's heavy on my heart all the time. And if you want to pray with me about us getting to that point one day, I would more than welcome those prayers. That is a great thing, and it's something that we've been called to do. Verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You know, I think for a lot of us, we don't like to think about we reap what we sow, do we? We don't like to think about that, but that's a biblical thing. God is very, very clear that the life that we live will matter and it will have things to follow it depending on what we sow. For example, if you gossip about a friend, you more than likely will eventually lose that friendship. Now, obviously, if you gossip about a friend, they must not be much of a friend or you're not much of a friend because a friend would not do that to a friend. And so it's important for us to understand that we reap what we sow. We cannot mock God. That's basically saying we may fool everybody else, but we're not fooling God. We may look good. We may sound good. We may say the right things. We may do the right things. People see us, man, they really serve. They really do a lot of stuff, you know, all that stuff. Look, you will never fool God. You cannot mock Him. He won't be mocked. He always knows your heart. You will never deceive Him. And it's important for us to hear that. It's important for us to understand that. And that's great accountability. Verse 8, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, this is more of what we were just talking about, from that nature will reap destruction, will reap death, if you want to put it that way. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I think that that's important to know. I was just talking with my dad this week, and I was burdened about a family that I know, and I was telling him about this family, and I said, Dad, you just got to know, I'm just really burdened for this family. It's a crazy situation. They've recently had a child, and I just wish so badly that they could have more money, that the church could help them, or whatever, and I just said, it's just messing me up all over. And this person serves, and man, just, I mean, these people, they give so much to the kingdom. And Dad just stopped me right there, and he's, you know, full of the wisdom. I like to call it the wisdom when I talk about my dad. But anyway, he's full of the wisdom. And when we were talking about it, he just said, Chris, he said, just stop. Just you're worrying so much about this. And I said, well, I'm worrying, Dad, because I love these people so much. And he said, Chris, I understand that. And he said, it doesn't mean you don't love them. To not worry, he said, but you got to understand something. They are doing God's work. And when people do God's work, He takes care of them every single time. And I got to tell you, I'm living proof of that. My family is living proof of that. That when you do God's work, He always provides. And so you may be sitting here today and you may be in something in your life right now where you're going, you know, I'm really trying to do what God wants me to do through doing this thing, this decision we've made or whatever, and it may be tough on the family or whatever. I just want to lift you up and just say, just know that God is going to take care of you. If you are doing what God wants you to do, God is going to take care of you. Now, Paul is really, he's talking about finances and all kinds of stuff here, and I'm going to save the finance bit for later. But you just need to know that it's so important for us to understand that everything that we've been given, we are managers of it. And with all of that, what we reap, what we sow is what we reap. If you sow into the kingdom, every time, God's going to take care of you. It's so true. And I've so experienced that in my life. In verse 9 it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And I just got to tell you today that I need that. I don't know about you, but I need that passage of Scripture. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I'll just tell you, you know, I'm just like anybody else. There's days that I'm tired. And I'm just going, God, what are you doing? You know, what's happening with this thing? And especially when you make plans that you felt like God is leading you to do and you're moving forward with it and it just doesn't turn out like you thought it was going to. And I'm just going, God, doing what you want me to do. I know I am. I know I'm right there in the middle of it. But now I'm waiting. And I don't know about you, but I just think that it's so important for us to hear that for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I'll just tell you right there that those last four words are the words that characterize so many people that I know of in the ministry in general. They give up. I've seen so many pastors, worship pastors, youth pastors, people that are close friends of mine just completely leave the ministry. Because it's hard. Doing God's work is hard, and it's no different for anybody in anybody's life. If you are trying to do what God wants you to do, guess what? It's going to be hard. And you are going to want to give up. But for at a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't. And that's so great to hear. Verse 10. The last verse here, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And that passage of Scripture is a call from Paul where he is just saying, hey, take care of fellow believers. Be there for them. Be there for them. Do not leave them behind. Love on them. But not only that, love everybody. Love everybody, but especially take care of fellow believers. Maybe this morning, you've got something going on in your life, and you're just kind of maybe feeling left out. Maybe you don't feel like anybody is there for you. And I think a lot of people know what that feels like. Jordan, where are you at? Come on up here, buddy. I think for so many of us, we carry burdens on our own. Anybody want to volunteer this morning? Shandell, you want to volunteer this morning? You want to come up? Oh, you don't have to say anything. All you got to do is grab the rope. You won't be alone. Come on up. Heather, why don't you come on up? Logan, come on up. I want you guys to grab a hold of this thing. Just get on there. Just pick it up. I think you know what this is. Jordan, how much of a man are you today? are you two girls and a Logan kind of man, or Logan, I don't know how it turned out like this. I really don't. I didn't plan on you raising your hand. It just kind of happened. I think what happens is so many of us get caught in life, and we're Jordan. And go ahead and put a little tension on this thing. We're Jordan, and what we're finding is that we are carrying the load all by ourselves. We are carrying the burden. And when we do that, we may be able to hold on. I want y'all to put some pull on this thing. I want to see. I'll tell you what. Y'all kind of get it tense, and then is there any chance?
I don't know. I'm sliding on the floor.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna count to three, and I'm just interested. I mean, it's three against one here. I just want to count to three and kind of see what happens. So, you know, y'all ready to go on the count of three? Logan's like wrapping that thing around him. Now, this is going to be some pretty ridiculous tug of war. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. All right. Okay, come back. Bring it back. Who wants? Come on, you two, right here. Join Jordan here. And, you know, I think that it's important for us. I mean, you look at verse 2 right here in this passage of Scripture. And verse 2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. When we carry each other's burdens, we are fulfilling what God has called us to do in loving others. And so on the count of three, let's see what we've got here. One, two, three. Jordan is the man. He's just like standing still. Thank you so much. And I think what's important for us to understand today is that we have been called to do that for people, and yet we are so caught up sometimes in who we are and in what's going on in our life, we are missing the law of love. We're missing the very thing that Christ came and said, here's the commandment, here's the deal, love others. And you see, love is not just a four-letter word that we throw around. Love is not just something that we say, hey, I love you. That's not it. You know, love has action behind it. And that action consists of carrying each other's burdens. And when we are alone, we feel alone. And I have so many people talk to me about coming to church, and they say, Chris, I feel alone. I come to church, and I come to worship service at 10:24 and the whole bit, and then you know what? I go home, and I'm alone. And I'm not meeting people, and I'm not connecting. And let me just tell you what, as long as you're doing that, you're going to feel alone. You need fellowship with other believers. God wired us up that we need to connect with other people because we need other people to help us carry our burdens. But not only that, we need to help other people carry their burdens. And the people that I see come in the doors of 24 Church and then go out quickly are the people that never attempt to connect with other believers at 24. And that goes for every church. This is probably the biggest deal in churches across the land that people are missing, is that they need that. Let me tell you what. I'm just going to tell you, this is from my heart. I mean this with all sincerity, and I'm not trying to get on you by saying it, but if you're a couple, you need to be in a home team together as a couple. You need that together. You do not need it separately. Do not fool yourselves into thinking you need to go hang out with, you know, these little people, you know, because we got a men's home team, we got a ladies' home team. You need stuff together. You need it. It's biblical. You need to connect with other couples. If you're a single, you need to connect with other singles. Now, not the way you're thinking right now, okay? So just hold on. But we need that. And when we aren't a part of carrying the burdens of others. And when we're not a part of having other people help us carry our burdens, we're going to come up empty every time. And you may think right now, Chris, I'm doing great. We're doing great. And I'm doing great in my walk with Christ right now. And, you know, we're just doing the thing at home, you know. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be a day where your daughter's in a car accident. And you're going to Atlanta for the next month and a half. And who's going to minister to you during that time? You say, well, Chris, you're the preacher. Yeah. The preacher of a growing church. And the way we designed this from the get-go was that so that biblically we were seeing everybody involved in loving on each other and carrying each other's burdens. We need that. And not only do we need it, but we need to be doing it. Because when we do that, we are helping to fulfill what God created us to do. To fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. I want us to just pray for just a moment. Today, God, that need to have somebody help them carry their burdens. We have people here today, God, that I know need to have their burdens carried. We've got people in both spots. And God, I would venture to say we've got tons of them. We've got tons of people that are missing some stuff right now in their relationship with you. And God, I'd venture to say that a lot of it is based upon this principle. God, it is so important for us to pick up the road and to help pull our weight. God, not just as a part of your church, but as a part of what you've called us to do in growing in our relationship with you. And so God, this morning I just pray that we would all take to heart what you've called us to do in carrying each other's burdens. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to sing to you for everything that you have done for us. God, it is such a little thing that we're able to do back to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased in our worship. God, that you would be pleased in the worship of our life, and that our life would resonate that we want to live a life for you. We love you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we would love everybody that you put into our life just as you loved us. In your name I pray. Amen.